As night fell and the Texans tended to their horses, Scratch looked at the campfires blazing brightly.
I'm starting to wonder if this was such a good place to spend the night after all, Bo.
Yeah, the same thought occurred to me. Those fires are pretty much an engraved invitation to an ambush. I think Olaf knows it, too. I saw him talking to the lieutenant a few minutes ago, and Holbrook didn't look happy about it. Looks like he chewed out the sarge and told him to mind his own business.
Gustafson ain't the type to disobey an order, neither, even when he knows it's loco.
No, he's not. But we're civilians, and if we want to slip off a ways and find a place to hold up for the night that's not right out in the open, Holbrook can't stop us.
Maybe some place where we can keep an eye on those soldier boys without them knowing it?
That's what I had in mind.
Better tell Gustafson, so if the Shaved Tail comes looking for us, somebody will know where to find us.
Yeah, but we won't tell Holbrook. No need for him to know about it unless there's trouble.
Right. You know, some folks say the devils like to roam around in the darkness. Tonight, I got a hunch they're right.
The Texans made their camp in some trees about a quarter of a mile from the spot where the troopers had pitched their tents and built those big cook fires. Scratch arranged some rocks in a circle and kindled a tiny blaze just large enough to boil coffee and fry up some bacon. No one outside the trees would be able to see the flames. It was going to be a very cold night, Bo sensed, and a big fire would have felt mighty good. But every instinct in his body warned him against such a thing. After they had eaten, Scratch put out the fire, but they lingered next to its ashes. They could hear the troopers moving around and talking.
Ugh, those fellas better hope the army never sends them to Arizona to fight the Apaches. If there were any Apaches skulking around, some of those soldier boys would be dead by now.
I expect you're right. Between the fires and the racket, the devils probably know right where they are.
Question is, what are they gonna do about it?
Reckon we'll have to wait and see.
Hey, it's time you tell me what you've been pondering about these past few days, Bo. You got some ideas that the devils ain't regular road agents, don't you?
A thought crossed my mind. As soon as Marty Sutton said something about the Argosy wanting to buy her out, I got to wondering about Nicholson.
All the other big mines lost gold shipments before the Argosy did. The Golden Queen wasn't the only one.
Yeah, but if the goal was to make Miss Sutton so desperate that she'd sell, what better way to disguise that than to hit all the other outfits too, including your own?
Man, that makes sense, I reckon. As much sense as you could expect from a snake-blooded varmint so ruthless he'd have some of his own men murdered and carved up just to keep suspicion from falling on him.
That's not all. When we first rode up Deadwood Gulch with Chlorite, and I got a look at the terrain, I realized that it's not really very far as the crow flies from the Golden Queen to the Argosy. I confirmed that by looking at the map in Kiefer's office this afternoon. You know how a pocket of gold-bearing quartz can run for a long way sometimes?
Son of a gun! You think the Argosy miners are following a ledge that winds up smack dab in the middle of the Golden Queen?
It's possible. And listen to this. Reese Bardwell, Nicholson's superintendent, has a brother named Tom who led a gang of outlaws down in Kansas.
Yeah. I remember Chloride telling us about that rumor. He didn't know if it was true or not, though. He was just trying to get under Bardwell's hide that day.
It's not a rumor. I looked through the wanted posters in Sheriff Manning's office and found a reward dodger on Tom Bardwell. The poster was a couple years old, so there was nothing to indicate that he'd ever been hanged or even caught. I'd be willing to bet he hasn't been.
So Nicholson hits on the idea of recruiting his superintendent's outlaw brother to raid the gold shipments, with the idea that sooner or later, he'll force Miss Sutton to sell out to him. And that way, he can keep mining the ore that runs all the way through this ridge under us into the Golden Queen. Yeah, that all fits together mighty nice, Bo.
Yeah, there's just one problem with it that ruins the whole thing.
What's that? I'm danged if I see it.
If Nicholson's really behind all the trouble, why would he go along with sending that letter to Washington, asking that the army be sent in to deal with the devils?
Damn it! Yeah, that don't make any sense. Unless all the other big miners were gonna do it anyway, and Nicholson had to go along with the idea to keep anybody from getting suspicious of him.
Maybe. I can't help but think, though, that Nicholson's influential enough around here that he could have talked the other owners into waiting if he wanted to. When he was talking to the lieutenant, Nicholson looked and sounded like he really wanted Holbrook to be successful in putting a stop to the Devils.
Oh, we've run across hombres before who were good at acting all innocent-like when they were really no good varmints.
Now, Shakespeare wrote, a man may smile and smile and be a villain.
Ain't that what I just said? And what if it ain't Nicholson at all, but somebody else at the Argosy who's behind it?
Like Rhys Bardwell?
He's the one who's got the Al Hoot brother. He could be working behind Nicholson's back, trying to get his hands on the Golden Queen. Or maybe he's just out for a share of the loot.
Could be. Bardwell's a troublemaker, no doubt about that. I'm not sure he's a cold-blooded killer, though, brother or no brother.
So where does that leave us?
Sitting in the cold and the dark, waiting to see if a bunch of outlaws are going to show up and try to kill us all.
The Texans took turns standing guard during the night, as they usually did in a potentially dangerous situation like this. Bo stood the first watch, and Scratch took over around midnight. Bo wasn't sure how long he had been asleep when his friend touched his shoulder, but he was instantly awake. The fog from his breath wreathed around his head as he reached for the Winchester he had placed on the ground next to his bedroll.
What is it?
Horses smelled something.
Mountain lion, maybe?
I ain't spooked. I'd say it's more horses.
Bo lifted his head to judge the cold wind that blew across the top of the ridge. It was from the northwest, and that meant their horses wouldn't be able to smell the cavalry mounts, which were picketed several hundred yards away to the east. Here, under the trees, it was too dark for the Texans to see each other, but they had ridden together for so long, each of them knew what the other would be doing in these circumstances. Bo found his boots and pulled them on, while Scratch ghosted through the trees to a point where he could see the camp. Bo joined him a moment later. The big fires the troopers had built earlier had died down quite a bit, but they were still visible. Bo saw dark shapes cross between him and the orange glows as the guards Holbrook had posted walked their picket lines.
You hear any horses earlier?
Nope, but that don't mean anything. The devils could have dismounted a ways along the ridge and started sneaking up on foot.
Let's make some noise.
Yeah, but what if the devils ain't around?
Then we'll apologize later for disturbing Lieutenant Holbrook's sleep.
Bo had his Winchester at his shoulder now. He pointed the barrel at the sky and cranked off three shots as fast as he could work the lever. Then the Texans hit the dirt, just in case some of the startled troopers jumped up and started blazing away in the direction of the shots without knowing what they were shooting at.
Hit 'em!
Somewhere in the darkness, tongues of orange muzzle flame licked out from a different clump of trees near the camp. Bo knew that was where the bushwhackers were hidden. He propped himself up on his elbows, lined his sights on those trees, and started firing. Again, Scratch followed suit. The pickets weren't sure exactly where to shoot, but they knew they were under attack, and they opened fire. Since all the soldiers could do was aim at muzzle flashes, some of their shots were directed toward the trees where the ambushers were hidden, while others whipped through the branches and thudded into the trunks in the grove where Bo and Scratch lay. The Texans had known when they opened fire that they ran a risk of being shot by their own allies, but there wasn't anything they could do about that except stay low. The troopers who had been sleeping scrambled out of their blankets, lunged from their tents carrying their rifles, and took cover behind the rocks scattered around the camp. Bo wasn't surprised when the firing from the other clump of trees abruptly stopped. He spotted several dark shapes racing through the shadows, and so did Scratch.
They're lighting a shuck!
Scratch tracked one of the running figures with his Winchester and squeezed off another shot. The fleeing outlaw tumbled off his feet. Bo threw lead after the others, but couldn't tell if he hit any of them.
Cease fire! Cease fire!
Counterman that order.
Continue fire! Over there in those trees!
Better duck, partner.
Both Texans hunkered as low to the ground as possible, while a storm of lead tore through the trees above them.
Lieutenant, I think that's where Creel and Morton were.
Oh my God, why didn't someone say so?
Hold your fire! It's us!
You reckon the devils left behind any sharpshooters?
I hope not.
Bo also hoped their horses had been picketed far enough into the trees that the animals had remained safe during all the shooting. He hadn't heard either of the horses scream, so maybe they hadn't been hit. Bo and Scratch reloaded, then held the rifles ready as they trotted toward the camp. Bo noticed that the fires had been doused completely, plunging the whole area into darkness. Probably Gustafson's idea.
Hold it!
Just us, Sergeant.
Gustafson stood up from behind the rock where he had been kneeling.
Come ahead.
Either of you fellas hurt?
Nope.
Nope.
Sound like somebody else is, though.
Yeah, we got casualties, including the lieutenant.
I heard him just a few minutes ago.
Well, he ain't dead, just wounded. He's being tended to now. Come on, I'll take you to him. The rest of you men, stay where you are. And for God's sake, stay alert. If you see anybody move out there, chances are it ain't a friend.
The sergeant led Bo and Scratch to the largest of the tents, where a makeshift field hospital had been set up. By lantern light, one of the troopers was using a carbolic-soaked rag to clean a bloody gash on Lieutenant Holbrook's upper left arm where a bullet had creased him. The trooper was older than the usual cavalry private. His weathered face and iron-gray hair put him at least in his 40s.
How's he doing, Wilson?
He'll be fine as long as he doesn't get blood poisoning, and I'm doing everything I can to prevent that. The lieutenant was lucky.
Luckier than the two soldiers lying on the ground with blankets pulled up over their faces, Bo thought. Blood soaked through those blankets in places. Those troopers hadn't made it. A couple of other men, one with a bloody bandage around his right thigh, and another who had been shot through the hand, were in better shape. Certainly better than the two fatalities. Holbrook's wound appeared to be the least serious of the lot.
Where were you two men? You're supposed to be helping us. Instead, you let those outlaws attack us.
If we hadn't fired those warning shots, the first shots you heard would have been the ones that killed all your pickets. And then the devils would have riddled all the tents before your men could even crawl out of their blankets. They had plenty of light to aim by, after all, with those fires still burning.
This was our first night out here. I didn't think the devils would attack us yet.
I don't reckon they saw any reason to waste time.
They didn't like the idea of having a cavalry patrol out here hunting them.
Well, they'll soon learn they can't get away with ambushing the United States cavalry. Sergeant, did we suffer any other casualties?
A few nicks. Nothing the men can't tend to themselves.
Very well.
Holbrook flinched as Trooper Wilson bound a dressing in place around his arm.
Organize a burial detail. We'll lay Troopers Rutherford and Bennett to rest first thing in the morning. Assign one of the uninjured men to accompany Mitchell and Stoneham back to Deadwood.
The man who had been shot through the hand spoke up.
Begging your pardon, Lieutenant. But I don't have to go back. I can ride just fine, so I should stay with the patrol.
You may be able to ride, but you can't handle a rifle one-handed, Stoneham. You're going back.
I'll see to it, Lieutenant.
Excellent. The rest of us will continue the search for the enemy.
What about you, sir? You're injured, too.
I said, the rest of us will continue searching for the enemy. That's exactly what I meant, Sergeant. Tell the men we'll be leaving as soon as it's light enough to follow the trail. That is, if our scouts think they'll be able to pick up the trail of the men who ambushed us.
We'll be ready, Lieutenant. The devils may have overplayed their hand this time. Could be they'll lead us right to their hideout.
When Bo got around to checking his watch, he saw that it was only an hour or so until dawn. No point in trying to go back to sleep now, he decided, and Scratch felt the same way. So they walked back to the trees where they had been camped earlier and fetched their horses to the main camp. The animals were unharmed, as Bo had hoped. As a cold gray light appeared in the sky, Bo saw that more clouds had moved in. The wind picked up, blowing harder. Scratch gazed at the thick overcast.
Looks like we might be in for a blue norther.
I don't think they call them that up here in Dakota Territory.
Well, whatever they call it, it could be some rough weather on the way. Hey, what's the date?
24th, I think.
Son of a gun. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
No turkey feast for us, I reckon. Although with that wet behind the ears lieutenant in charge, I reckon I'll be plenty thankful if we're still alive tomorrow.
Bo couldn't argue with that. He and Scratch rode over to the trees where the devils had hidden to launch their ambush, and they had a look around. There wasn't much to see, just some empty shell casings littering the ground. Any wounded outlaws had been taken with the rest of the gang. The Texans dismounted and walked the same direction the outlaws had fled the night before. Scratch pointed out some broken branches and rocks that had been turned over.
They were in too big a hurry to cover their tracks. If we're lucky, maybe they were careless all the way back to their hideout.
Yeah.
Bo didn't think that was too likely. They found the spot where the outlaws had left their horses. Hoof prints led away from there, following the ridge to the southwest. Of course, there really wasn't anywhere else for the gang to go. The walls of the gulches on both sides of the ridge were too steep for the horses to handle in all but a few places. By the time the Texans returned to camp, The two troopers who had been killed in the ambush had been buried, and Gustafson was getting the men ready to ride. Lieutenant Holbrook came up to meet Bo and Scratch. He wore his left arm in a black silk sling that Trooper Wilson had rigged.
Did you find the trail?
It won't be much trouble to follow.
Good. I'd like to catch up to those outlaws and deal with them today, if possible. There's no need to give them another chance to ambush us tonight.
Now that I agree with, Lieutenant. Are you sure you'll be able to handle the ride?
What should I do? Go back to Deadwood with my tail between my legs and leave the patrol under the command of Sergeant Gustafson and a couple of civilians?
Well,
we just don't want you to get blood poisoning like Trooper Wilson warned you about.
I'm fine. Let's get on the trail of those thieves and killers.
The sky had lightened a little more, but the clouds were so thick, Bo figured the heavens would remain gloomy and overcast the rest of the day. Sergeant Gustafson must have felt the same way. As the patrol proceeded along the ridge, the non-com brought his horse up beside Bo's.
That sky looks so threatening. I expect old Odin to part the clouds at any minute and glare down at us with his one good eye as he pronounces judgment on us. He'll have all the rest of those grim gray gods with him.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Folks in the part of the world where my family comes from tend to be a mite down in the mouth most of the time. I reckon you would be too if it was always cold and dark where you lived.
Maybe. I like Mexico myself. Warm sun, good food, pretty little senoritas. It is plumb peaceful down there.
Yeah, that's not what you thought last time we were there and all those hombres tried to kill us.
Well, everywhere has its drawbacks, I suppose.
Trooper Wilson did a good job taking care of those wounded men. Almost like he had medical training.
Yeah. Wilson's good enough at patching up wounds that it's almost like he was a surgeon back during the war between the states. I'll bet some of those doctors who wore Confederate gray changed their names and came west after the war. A cavalry troop would be mighty lucky to have a fella like that join up with them.
As long as some of the men who still hate rebels didn't know about it.
Yeah, as long as that was true.
By late morning, the patrol reached a spot where several ridges came together. Craggy cliffs rose above them. A number of canyons cut into those cliffs, the walls leaning toward each other like the jaws of a trap about to snap shut. Lieutenant Holbrook reined in and signaled for the patrol to halt. He turned to Bo and Scratch.
I suppose now it'll be more difficult to follow the trail since there are several ways they could have gone.
Yeah, they may have even split up.
That wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Let me take a look around.
For several minutes, the silver-haired Texan walked back and forth, studying the ground. Large stretches of it were too rocky to take a print, but there were other ways of following a trail. Finally, Scratch rejoined Bo and the lieutenant. He pointed out an opening in the cliffs. It was 20 feet wide and ran straight for perhaps 50 yards before it took a sharp turn.
Looks like they stayed together and rode into that center canyon.
Are you sure? I don't see any tracks at all.
Yeah, but horses can't travel over rocky ground without turning over some of the rocks. And their shoes leave little nicks and scratches on the rocks, too. And there are places where there's enough dirt to pick up part of a hoof print. I can see enough sign to tell that a bunch of riders came through here in the past 12 hours, and there ain't nothing pointing to any of those other canyons. That's the way they went, all right. You can count on it.
And if Scratch says it, you can believe it. He's a fine tracker. Always has been.
All right. That means we go after them.
Well, hold on a minute. I'm not sure that's a good idea.
What do you mean? We came out here to track down the Deadwood Devils, didn't we? Who else could it have been that attacked us last night?
I'm not saying it wasn't the Devils. I'm saying it might not be a good idea to follow them into that canyon. Can't you see that it's a perfect setting for another ambush?
They haven't gone to any trouble to cover their trail, Lieutenant. It's sort of like they want us to follow them.
Nonsense. They were just in a hurry to get away once it became obvious that their ambush wasn't going to work.
I don't know. Maybe they thought it'd be easier just to lure you into a trap.
Begging your pardon, Lieutenant, but what these fellas are saying makes sense. If those outlaws really wanted to get away, they could have split up here and gone half a dozen different directions. Instead, they stayed together and rode into that canyon.
Which is probably where their hideout is located. You men don't seem to understand. This is our chance to catch them all together and wipe them out. The best time to attack is when the enemy is concentrated in one spot. You'd understand that if you'd been trained in tactics like I have.
Maybe you better let Scratch and me do a little scouting before you go charging in there, Lieutenant. That's why you brought us along, isn't it?
I suppose so. I don't want to waste this opportunity, though. I'll give you a few minutes to reconnoiter that canyon, but then I'm leading my men in pursuit of the enemy.
Just wait until we get back.
And if you hear shots, do not come charging in there. We'll get back to you if we can, and if we can't, then you'll know it was a trap and we've sprung it.
Go ahead.
Bo noted that the lieutenant didn't actually promise to go along with what they had asked. And that left him with an uneasy feeling as Scratch mounted up and the two of them rode toward the dark cleft.
I knew no good would come from getting mixed up with some greenhorn glory hound.
Maybe he'll wait.
You really think so?
Well, it depends on whether or not he listens to Olaf.
He ain't showed no signs of it so far.
Yeah, I know.
The Texans drew their Winchesters and rested them across the saddles as they reached the mouth of the canyon. The wind that blew down the cleft was bone-chilling. Steep, rocky walls rose 50 or 60 feet on both sides of them, and the dark, overcast day meant that a thick gloom clogged the canyon as they proceeded into it. They rode side by side, Bo on the right and Scratch on the left, and each of them watched the rimrock on his side, alert for any sign of an ambush. There were no sounds except the slow, steady hoofbeats of their horses. They reached the first bend and rode around it. Now they could see another 100 yards or so ahead of them. The canyon floor was empty except for some boulders and stunted bushes here and there along the base of the walls.
This cut's liable to zigzag along for a mile or more without ever running straight for more than 100 yards at a time. And then it might run smack dab into a dead end.
Bo knew his friend was right. Some geological upheaval in the dim, distant past had created this canyon, possibly at the same time the rest of the Black Hills had risen. That cataclysm had left a number of large rocks broken and perched on the rims of both sides of the canyon. Bo eyed them warily as he and Scratch rode past.
It wouldn't take much to start an avalanche along here. Get a log and lever one or two of those boulders over the edge. It would pick up plenty more on the way down.
Yeah, this place gives me the fan tides. The devils came this way because I'm still seeing signs.
Yeah, me too. Maybe the lieutenant's right. Maybe their hideout really is up here.
If that shaved tail was ever right about anything, it was a pure D accident. I got a hunch that having that old Sarge around is the only reason that young fella's still alive.
The canyon continued to twist back and forth, almost as sinuous as a diamondback rattler, wriggling its way across the ground. The walls became more sheer and rose even higher by the time Bo and Scratch had penetrated half a mile into the canyon. The shadows thickened, even though the sun was high overhead now. That was because the clouds were so thick and threatening. At least they were past the area where the threat of a rock slide loomed, Bo thought. They reined in for a moment.
You reckon we ought to go back and fetch the lieutenant and the rest of the patrol?
Everything looks clear so far. Maybe it'd be a better idea if we split up. You can go back and fetch the soldier boys, and I'll keep heading deeper into...
Wait a minute. You hear that?
Damn it! Horses coming up the canyon. The dang shaved tail got tired of waiting.
I better get back there with them.
Avalanche!
They jerked their horses around and sent the animals galloping back down the canyon. It was clear what had happened. The outlaws had been hidden up on the rimrock, possibly on both sides of the canyon, and had let Bo and Scratch ride past without springing the trap. The devils were after a bigger payoff than just two Texans. Then, when Lieutenant Holbrook had led his men up the canyon as well, the outlaws had struck.
Dang fool, couldn't wait!
They raced around the bends in the canyon at breakneck speed. Avalanches were horribly destructive, but usually didn't last all that long. This one seemed to be coming to an end. As the Texans guided their horses through another twist, they spotted clouds of dust billowing up in front of them. All those tumbling rocks kicked up a lot of dust. Bo reined in and Scratch followed suit. Plunging into that blinding cloud wouldn't do any good. They wouldn't be able to see where they were going.
We're gonna have to wait for some of that dust to blow away.
Yeah, but it shouldn't take long. Not with the way the wind's blowing through this canyon.
The cloud of dust began to drift down the canyon.
The devils are trying to finish off the troopers who survived the rock slide.
Come on, we'll give them a hand.
Bo and Scratch galloped down the canyon and came in sight of a huge pile of rocks that filled the cleft from one side to the other. Muzzle flashes stabbed into the gloom from some of the rocks at the edge of the slide and were answered by more orange tongues of flame from the rimrock. Bo and Scratch left the saddles while their horses were still running and landed with their rifles in hand. They snatched their hats off their heads, slapped at the horses, and sent the animals galloping back up the canyon, out of the line of fire. The Texans ran behind some rocks, just beyond the bend, and opened fire on the bushwhackers along the rim rock. A haze of dust still hung in the air, stinging eyes and noses and making it harder to see. But that was true for the men up on the canyon walls, too. They had to be having trouble picking out targets down below. A man suddenly staggered into view on the rim rock, clutching at his belly. A bullet had found him, and he was mortally wounded. He toppled off the sheer cliff and plunged to the canyon floor, landing on the massive pile of rocks. That was one of the varmints down anyway, Beau thought. But there were still plenty more up there, and they continued to pour lead down into the canyon.
This ain't doing any good, Beau.
I know. We need to get up there somehow.
There ain't no way!
Not for a man on horseback, but a fella might be able to climb.
Yeah, well, a mountain goat maybe, but not a man.
I'm gonna give it a try anyway. Stay here and do what you can to help those troopers.
Without giving Scratch a chance to argue anymore, Beau lunged out from behind the boulder where he had taken cover and raced around the bend in the trail. When Beau was safely around the bend, he paused. He took off his belt, then used it to rig a sling for the Winchester so he could carry it over his shoulder. His eyes searched the canyon walls for footholds and handholds he could use in his climb. Beau settled on his route and went over to the wall. He took his hat and coat off and dropped them on the ground. The cold wind cut through his shirt and vest, but the coat would be a hindrance while he was climbing. He slung the rifle over his shoulder and reached up to grip the first handhold he had spotted. Beau's muscles protested as he lifted himself, but they would just have to get used to it. He wedged his foot against a rocky knob and shoved himself higher. Now he could reach the next handhold and grip it firmly to haul himself up. Around the bend, the gunfire continued without slacking off. The troopers were putting up a good fight. The wall rose about 50 feet above the canyon floor. Some stretches were almost sheer, but other parts were easier going. Beau climbed doggedly, never looking down, but keeping his eyes on the wall above him. He had no idea how long he had been climbing, so it took him a little by surprise when he suddenly reached the top and rolled over the edge of the rimrock. With solid ground under him again, he lay there for a moment. Then he rolled over and pushed himself up onto one knee. The devils were all on the other side of the canyon. They gathered among the rocks where they had started the avalanche, using the remaining boulders for cover. They were still firing down into the canyon and didn't seem to have noticed Beau reaching the top on the other side. In the weak light of the overcast afternoon, he could see several of the outlaws. They weren't wearing their usual bandana masks, but he couldn't make out enough details of their faces to recognize any of them. The rimrock rose a little on this side of the canyon, enough to give him some cover if he stretched out behind it. Lying on his belly, Beau propped himself up on his elbows and snugged the butt of the Winchester against his shoulder. The rifle already had a bullet in the firing chamber. He settled his sights on the first man he was going to try to take down and squeezed the trigger. Beau worked the Winchester's lever and shifted his sights. He didn't take the time to see if his bullets found their targets. Instead, he jacked the lever and fired again and again and again. Beau didn't stop shooting. He had reloaded the rifle before starting his climb, so he'd had a full 16 rounds in it, one in the chamber and 15 in the magazine. He fired all 16 shots in that many seconds, maybe a little less. From this angle, even the outlaws he couldn't see were in danger from the storm of lead because the bullets were bouncing around among those rocks on the other wall. When the Winchester was empty, he quickly scooted backward, knowing that the devils would return his fire. Dirt and pebbles leaped into the air as bullets chewed into the edge of the rimrock. Beau stayed as low as he could. Slugs flew through the air just above his head. Where he was, though, they couldn't reach him. While he was lying there, he thumbed fresh cartridges through the Winchester's loading gate. A sudden outburst of firing from the opposite wall of the canyon made him glance in that direction. For a second, he thought some of the devils had moved down there to get better shots at him. But then he saw a familiar figure kneeling behind a rock on that side and directing his fire toward the outlaws. Scratch! The silver-haired Texan ducked lower behind the rock as his rifle ran dry.
What in blazes are you doing up there?
I was always a better climber than you. I figured if you could do it, I could too. And we can lay into the varmints from two directions at once.
But it appeared they had the outlaws on the run again. The shooting had died down, and when Beau risked a look, he spotted several of the figures in their long coats dashing away from the edge of the canyon. He opened fire on them again, hoping to bring down one or two more, but they were out of sight too quickly for that.
Varmints are lighting a shot!
I know! Did you see how many of them got away?
Half dozen, I reckon. Maybe one or two more.
I'll keep an eye out in case they double back. You can climb down first.
Scratch reached down to the ground and lifted a coil of rope.
I brought my lariat with me. I'll tie it on to something and get down that way. Won't take long.
Good idea.
Bo held his rifle ready and scanned the opposite ridge while Scratch made the rope fast to a rock and went down it hand over hand. Using his feet to hold himself away from the canyon wall. When Scratch was down, Bo went back to the spot where he had climbed up. Since he knew all the handholds and footholds now, the descent went slightly faster, but he still had to take it slow and be careful. He didn't want to fall and break a leg, or worse, now that the fight with the devils was over. By the time Bo reached the canyon floor, Scratch had already gone to see what the situation was at the site of the avalanche. Bo joined his old friend and found Scratch talking to Sergeant Olaf Gustafsson. Relief went through Bo at the sight of the non-com, who had a bloody scratch on his head, but otherwise appeared to be all right. Several of the troopers were nearby, searching through the rock slide. Gustafsson gave Bo a curt nod.
Glad to see you're all right, Creel, and thanks for giving us a hand like that. If you hadn't come back to help us, those outlaws would have sat up there like buzzards and picked us all off sooner or later.
I'm glad you made it too, Sergeant. Where's the lieutenant?
Gustafsson grimaced and nodded toward the huge pile of rocks in the center of the canyon.
Under there somewhere. His horse went down while we were making a run for it. I turned back to try to pick him up, but before I could get there, a bunch of rocks swept right over him. I didn't like him, but Lord, I wouldn't wish something like that on anybody.
You and those other men are the only ones who made it?
Yeah. Less than a third of the patrol. And it was pure luck that we survived. The edge of the slide didn't miss us by more than 10 feet. Some of the smaller rocks pelted us.
Gustafsson gestured toward the cut on his head.
That's how I got this. The other men are beaten up too, but we're alive, and that's more than you can say for anybody who got caught under that. I told the men to look for more survivors, but between you and me, they're not going to find any.
You have your horses?
Yeah, our mounts got clear with us.
And you can get back to Deadwood. With the canyon blocked off, you may have to go a long way around, but you should be able to make it.
What about the two of you?
I reckon we're still going after the devils.
That's right. They have even more to pay for now.
Our orders were to find those outlaws and deal with them.
Lieutenant's dead, and so are most of your troop.
That doesn't change the orders. I'm in command now, and I say we're going after them. Some of them were killed, too. The odds ought to be close to even.
All right, but if we're going after them, we can't waste any time. Your men might be able to recover some of the bodies and give them proper burials if they stay here, but they probably wouldn't be able to catch up to the devils.
Yeah, I know. And as much as I hate to leave the bodies, we don't have any choice in the matter. I'll tell the men to abandon the search and mount up.
While Gustafsson was doing that, Bo and Scratch retrieved their horses. 5 minutes later, they rode up the canyon at the head of a small column that included Sergeant Gustafsson and 7 of the cavalry troopers. 10 men in all, counting the Texans. The devils couldn't number much more than that after all the men they had lost in recent days.
We may have another problem that ain't been talked about yet, Bo. What if this canyon's a dead end? We can't go back the other way. It'd take a week to dig out enough of that rock slide for the horses to get through.
I know. We just have to hope there's a way out the other end.
They followed the canyon on its twisting path into the hills. Bo kept an eye out for a place where the walls were gentle enough for the horses to make it. Eventually, the canyon petered out in a long slope, where an avalanche had taken place sometime in the past. The ground was loose rock, and Bo could tell by looking that it would be easy to trigger another slide. But they had no choice except to try to get out of the canyon this way.
Have your men dismount. We'll take it slow and easy, one at a time, leading the horses. Everybody back off while I go first.
Bo picked his way up the slope. The climb was actually an easy one, only about 100 yards, and not very steep. But it took several nerve-wracking minutes anyway before Bo finally reached the top. He had recovered his hat and coat earlier, so now he took off the black Stetson and waved it over his head to let Scratch know that he had made it safely to the top. Scratch started up next. It took most of the rest of the afternoon, but Gustafsson and the other survivors from the patrol were able to climb out of the canyon without any mishaps. When they were all up, Bo conferred with Gustafsson.
We'll backtrack now and pick up the Devil's Trail at the place where they started that avalanche.
We're gonna run out of light. I don't like the look of those clouds either. I think they've got snow in them.
You sound like old Chloride, Sarge. But I got a hunch you're right.
You won't have any trouble following the canyon from up here, Olaf. Scratch and I will go ahead and try to pick up the trail. We'll leave markers for you to follow us.
I hate to split up such a small force, but you two seem to know what you're doing. We won't be far behind you.
The Texans lifted a hand in farewell, and then galloped ahead of the patrol. In the fading light, it wasn't long before the troopers were out of sight behind them. It was only a few minutes later when Beau felt the first snowflake plant a cold kiss on his face. The snow was light and intermittent at first, but it began to fall thicker and faster as Beau and Scratch reached the spot where the avalanche had taken place. Scratch dismounted long enough to retrieve his lasso, which he coiled and fastened to his saddle again. While he was doing that, Beau located the place where the devils had left their horses during the ambush. The temperature was below freezing, and the snow was starting to stick, resulting in a dusting of white on the piles of horse droppings.
We won't be able to follow their trail once the snow starts to pile up.
I know. It's going to be dark soon, too.
You reckon we ought to just wait here for Gustafson and those troopers and make camp for the night?
Nah, let's give it a try. One thing about snow, it'll make it easier for Olaf and the others to follow us. They'll be able to see our tracks.
Yeah, I reckon. But where are we going?
I've been thinking. Lieutenant Holbrook might have been onto something. The Devil's hideout wasn't up this canyon, but it could be hidden in one of the others. That'd be a good place. It's isolated and there aren't any mines up here this high.
You figure we should check the other canyons?
It's a place to start.
They rode through the snow, which whipped up in swirls around them. Cutting across the ridge, they came to another of the rugged canyons. The thin layer of snow on the ground was enough to muffle their horses' hoofbeats, and Beau was thankful for that. If he was right about the hideout being up here, he didn't want to ride right into the place without any warning, and he sure didn't want the devils to know they were coming. The gray light in the sky was almost gone when they reached the head of the canyon without finding any sign of the outlaws. Beau was about to say that they would stop and look for a place to camp, when he suddenly stiffened in the saddle.
Hold on a sec.
A faint, familiar scent had drifted to his nostrils.
Scratch, you smell that?
Wood smoke. Somebody's got a fire going.
In weather like this, they'd have to. Let's see if we can follow the smell.
They set out across the rugged terrain, and after several hundred yards, they came to another canyon that stretched across the landscape like a black, hungry mouth. Beau and Scratch reined in. They tied their reins to a scrubby tree and stole ahead on foot, carrying their rifles. When they came to the edge of the canyon, they knelt in the snow and looked over the edge of the rim rock. The smell of smoke was stronger now. Beau saw a faint glow off to his right and silently pointed it out to Scratch.
That's lamplight coming through the cracks around the shutter. Those varmints got themselves a cabin down there.
Probably an old prospector's cabin that was abandoned, like the one where Chloride was staying.
Maybe we ought to burn it down around them like they tried to do to us.
We better make sure it's them. Let's see if we can find a way down there.
The Texans cat-footed along the rim in the gathering gloom. They came to a pair of boulders spaced apart like a marker, and sure enough, Beau made out the faint beginnings of a trail between the big rocks. The trail turned into a ledge that zigzagged down the canyon wall. Beau and Scratch were about to start along that ledge when they heard a voice.
Damn shit. Make me stand on guard in this cold ass night. Oh!
They stopped short. Somewhere nearby, a man was cursing. When no one replied to him, Beau figured that the man was talking to himself. The devils had posted a guard on this back door into their headquarters. Quickly, Beau motioned to Scratch, explaining in gestures what he was going to do. Scratch nodded his understanding. Beau started down the ledge, which was just wide enough for one man on horseback. Beau spotted a little cleft in the rock up ahead to his left. That was where the muttered curses came from.
Here goes nothing.
He walked right past it.
I ain't gonna... Who the...
The guard stepped out behind Beau and rammed a rifle barrel into his back. Scratch came up behind him.
Hey! Where the hell do you...
And slammed a rifle butt into the back of his head. The guard folded up without ever knowing what hit him. Beau's hand shot out and grabbed the man's coat to keep him from toppling off the ledge. Scratch got the unconscious man under the arms and dragged him back up to the Rimrock. Once they got there, Bo checked the sentry for a heartbeat, but didn't find one.
I hope he was one of the devils, because he's dead.
Oh, I reckon I hit him a little too hard and busted his skull.
He stuck a gun in my back, so there's a good chance he was one of the hombres we're after. We'll leave him here and get on down there. Maybe see if we can find out what they're planning.
They could see the cabin now, squatting on the canyon floor at the base of the wall like some malignant toad. Built onto the side of it were a shed and a corral for the horses. Bo's plan was to sneak up on the place and try to spy a glance through one of the crudely shuttered windows, maybe eavesdrop on what the outlaws were saying. They were only about halfway down the ledge, though, almost directly above the ramshackle structure, when the cabin door suddenly opened, spilling light onto the snowy ground. More than a dozen men in heavy coats and pulled-down hats walked out carrying rifles. One man lingered in the doorway, and the last of the others paused to talk to him while the rest went to the corral to saddle their horses. Bo and Scratch flattened out on the ledge so they wouldn't be as likely to be seen and listened to the conversation taking place in front of the cabin below them.
When Lowell comes down from guard duty in the morning, you and him start packing up all that gold. I want it ready to go when the boys and me get back from Deadwood.
Sure, Tom, I understand.
Good. I'm done with this. Once we hit the bank in Deadwood and clean it out, we'll be back to pick up you and Lowell and the rest of the gold. And then we're putting these damned Black Hills behind us. I don't care what the boss says.
It's a shame those blasted Texans had to come along. This was a sweet setup until then.
Yeah, not knowing whether they're dead or not is the one thing that bothers me. But having all that gold will help me get over it.
The man lifted a gloved hand in farewell and headed for the corral where one of the other outlaws had saddled his horse for him. They all mounted up and rode away along the snowy ground. Once the outlaws were out of sight, Bo motioned for Scratch to head back up the ledge. When they reached the Rimrock, they exchanged knowing glances.
There ain't no doubt about it now. Those were the devils.
Yeah, and that dead guard is the one the boss was talking about called Lowell. The other one will probably find his body in the morning when he doesn't come in from guard duty. But by then it'll be too late for him to warn the others. They'll be in Deadwood already. And so will we.
We're going after him to put a stop to that bank robbery?
Yeah. But we have to find Olaf and the other troopers first. Let's hope they were able to follow our trail.
It was dark as midnight now, even though it wasn't long after sundown. The snow still fell as Bo and Scratch rode back the way they had come from. When the wind gusted particularly hard, it seemed to be falling sideways.
Getting hard to see. I hope those soldier boys don't ride right off a cliff into a canyon.
A few minutes later, dark figures loomed up in front of them, made indistinct by the snow. Bo and Scratch reined in and lifted their rifles. The other riders did the same.
Who goes there?
It's us, Olaf. Bo Creel and Scratch Morton.
Thank God. With this snow, we were riding around blindly. I was able to follow your tracks for a while, but between the darkness and the wind, we were lost.
There's only so much room up here on this ridge, so I was hoping we'd run into each other. We have news.
You found the devil's hideout?
That's right. But there's only one man there right now. They left him to guard the loot from their previous robberies.
Where'd the rest of them go?
They're headed for Deadwood. They're gonna rob the bank there first thing in the morning, and then take off for the Tall and Uncut.
Damn. We got to stop them. Nobody in Deadwood will expect the devils to ride right into town like that. It'll be a massacre.
It could be, but not if we get there first.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go!
With Bo and Scratch in the lead, the little group started toward Deadwood. The wind blew harder, and the snow fell thicker. This late autumn storm was becoming a blizzard, and there wasn't a blasted thing they could do about it. All the men hunched deeper in their coats, and the horses plodded on. Bo's horse suddenly stopped and refused to go on.
Hold it! Everybody stop!
What is it, Bo?
I don't know. Everybody hold on for a minute.
Keeping a tight grip on the reins, he swung down from the saddle and walked forward, taking each step slowly and carefully. After a couple of strides, when his booted foot came down, it didn't find anything except empty air. Quickly, Bo backed up a step. He handed his reins to Scratch, then reached into his coat to fish out a match. The feeble glow revealed a snowy brink with black nothingness beyond it.
We almost rode off a cliff. We can't go on. It's too dangerous. We'll wind up falling into a canyon or a ravine.
What should we do?
Find a place to camp. Maybe where we can build a fire and thaw out a little.
But what about the devils and that bank robbery?
I reckon the people of Deadwood are on their own.
Bo led the way on foot now, with Scratch's lasso tied around his chest under his arms in case he fell. He made his way carefully, sliding his feet along the ground through the snow. After an unknowable time, Bo bumped into something hard and unyielding. He tipped his head back and saw something dark looming over him. Resting his gloved hands on the surface, he explored it until he was convinced it was a huge slab of rock. If they could get on the side of that rock where it blocked the wind, they might be able to build a fire and thaw out a little. Bo worked his way along the rock. For all he knew, it was a cliff that ran for miles. But luck was with him, and after only a few yards, he felt the surface curving under his hands. He followed it, and gradually the wind died down as the rock blocked the icy gusts. Bo kept moving until he couldn't feel the wind at all. He tugged on the rope to signal Scratch that the rest of the group should follow him. Moments later, Scratch and the troopers arrived. Bo was already feeling around, searching for something that would burn. He found some brush and broke off a few of the bare branches. Huddling next to the rock, he arranged the branches. Scratch gave him a sheet of newspaper. The Texans always carried a few old newspapers in their saddlebags to use for kindling. Bo tore the sheet into strips, piled them under the branches, and struck a match. Blocked by the rock, the wind didn't blow out the flame. A welcome glow rose, bringing with it a little heat as the kindling caught. After a moment, the branches began to burn as well. Bo worked patiently with the fire until he had a nice little blaze going. The men crowded around it and held out half-frozen hands. The face of the rock slab leaned out a little, which helped to trap and reflect the heat onto the men.
Whew, my teeth were chattering so bad I thought they were going to wear themselves down to little nubs. Feeling a mite better now.
We lost a lot of our supplies in that avalanche, but I think we have some coffee and jerky left.
Sounds good.
Half an hour later, after drinking some hot coffee and gnawing on strips of jerky, the men felt considerably better. They hunkered around the fire, which Bo kept going by judiciously feeding branches into the flames.
I sure wish we could have made it back to Deadwood in time to stop that robbery.
So do I, but I've been thinking. The devils left the loot from their other robberies in that cabin Scratch and I found. I heard their leader say that they're going to go back there to collect the rest of the gold before they leave this part of the country. We're between them and that loot.
Son of a gun, you're right, Bo. Maybe we can ambush them for a change.
That's what I was thinking.
It's a good idea. By then, they'll think they're free and clear. They won't be expecting us to be waiting for them. I say we do it.
We'll have to wait for morning so we can see where we are. There's no telling where we wandered during that storm. We'll need to find the canyon where the hideout is.
It shouldn't be that far off. It seemed like we slogged a long way, but I don't reckon we really covered all that much ground.
That's what I think, too. For now, we need to get some rest. Scratch, you and I will take turns standing guard.
Some of us could do that.
That's all right. We're used to it. You and your men get some sleep if you can, Sergeant.
All right. But if you need somebody to lend a hand, wake me up. I don't mind.
I might do that.
The troopers rolled up in their blankets. So did Scratch, as Bo stood the first watch. As he knelt next to the fire and fed branches and twigs into it, he was careful not to look directly into the flames. That ruined a man's night vision quicker than anything. Instead, he peered off into the snowy night. The wind died down sometime during the night, and the snow stopped too. The sky was still overcast the next morning, but it lightened enough with dawn to reveal that the storm had dumped about a foot of snow on the Black Hills. Scratch nudged Bo's shoulder to wake him.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you're right. It is Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'd sure be giving thanks right now if I was back in Deadwood gnawing on a drumstick from a big old turkey Sue Beth cooked.
Deadwood.
The men had a skimpy breakfast of coffee and jerky. Then Bo, Scratch, and Gustafson held another council of war.
Hey, we need to backtrack. That ought to take us to the hideout.
That won't be as easy as it sounds. The wind blotted out all our tracks, and the snow's covered up some of the landmarks. We know the right general direction, though, so we can head that way.
And at least we'll be able to see well enough we won't have to worry about falling off a cliff.
They gave the horses a little grain from the supply carried by the troopers in their saddlebags and melted some snow in the coffee pot so the animals could drink. Then it was time to saddle up and see if they could find a good place to ambush the gang when the devils came back this way to retrieve the rest of their loot. If they hadn't been facing a deadly shootout with a gang of killers and thieves, it would have been easier to appreciate the snow-covered beauty of the rugged terrain around them. The dark, pine-covered hills provided a vivid contrast to the sweeping vistas of snow. Growing up in Texas, Bo and Scratch had seldom seen sights like this, and even though in their years of wandering they had looked out over many snow-covered landscapes, they were still impressed by the spectacular scenery.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'd still rather be in Mexico or some other warm place right now, but this ain't bad, Bo.
No, it's not. You can see why the Sioux believe these hills are a sacred place. It's sort of a shame folks ever found gold up here.
Well, the hills will still be here when the gold is gone. They may even be here when all the people are gone. You'll never know.
You sort of philosophical for an old three-striper, ain't you, Sarge?
You figure I never think about anything except the army?
No offense, man.
Look, do those twin pines on that knob look familiar?
I think so. Did we see them when we were trying to follow the gang yesterday?
That's what I'm thinking.
Bo turned slowly from side to side in the saddle, studying the countryside around them. Then he pointed to the left.
I think the canyon where the hideout is should be over that way.
Let's take a look.
About a quarter of an hour later, Bo spotted a thin tendril of smoke climbing into the sky ahead of them. Scratch saw it at the same time.
I'll bet that's coming from the chimney of that old cabin.
I won't take that bet. I think you're right. That gives us something to aim for.
The 10 men headed for the smoke. As they drew closer, Scratch remembered something.
The fellow they left behind to get the gold ready to go probably found that dead hombre by now.
Yeah. When Lowell didn't show up from guard duty this morning, I'm sure the other man went looking for him. So he knows by now that something's wrong.
It'd be a good idea to get our hands on him so we can't warn the rest of the bunch.
That's just what I was thinking.
How would it be if we forded up in that cabin you told me about? We could hide the horses and make it look like everything was normal, and the devils would come riding right up to it. They'll want the rest of the gold.
That's not a bad idea. We don't want to put everybody inside the cabin, though. Unless we got all the outlaws on the first try, they could bottle us up in there. It'd be better if we had a couple of men in the cabin and the rest up here on the ridge. There are plenty of rocks to provide cover.
That sounds like it could work. God rest the lieutenant's soul, but I don't reckon he knew near as much about tactics as he thought he did.
The only way you live through as many fights as Bo and me have is to learn a few things along the way. Either that'd be the luckiest hombres on the face of the earth.
A little of both isn't bad.
They reined in and dismounted 100 yards from the edge of the canyon. The Texans and Gustafson went forward on foot, while the rest of the troopers stayed with the horses. The body of Lowell, the unlucky guard, was gone, indicating that the other man left behind had found it.
That fellow's gonna know something's wrong. He'll be ready for trouble. I'd be keeping an eye on the trail through a chink in the wall right now.
That's why we're not going down that ledge. You feel like climbing down a rope again?
Oh, sure. We'll come up behind the cabin.
That's what I had in mind.
What do you need me to do?
Wait for Scratch and me to give you the all clear.
But I
know you want to be in the middle of this, Olaf, but it's a two-man job at most.
All right. I suppose there'll be plenty of fighting later.
I think you can count on that.
They fetched Scratch's rope from his horse and tied one end of it around the trunk of a scrub pine growing fairly close to the edge of the canyon. When Scratch dropped the rest of the lariat over the edge, it fell to within a few feet of the canyon floor.
You ready?
Yeah. Who's going first?
In answer to that, Scratch grasped the rope, sat down on the edge, and turned to lower himself over the brink. He dropped out of sight as he went down the rope hand over hand.
Keep an eye on that lasso. We don't want it starting to fray where it goes over the edge.
I'll watch it.
Bo looked over the edge and watched Scratch make the descent. As soon as the silver-haired Texan's feet were back on the ground, Bo swung himself over the brink. It didn't take long to lower himself to the canyon floor. Scratch waited behind a rock with both of his Remingtons drawn. Bo drew his Colt from its holster.
Let's go.
They trotted across the snowy ground toward the cabin. They were behind the old shack, and there were no windows on this side. but the outlaw inside might still catch a glimpse of them through gaps between the logs. Half a dozen horses were in the corral next to the cabin. Two of them would belong to Lowell and the other man, and the others were probably spare mounts. The Texans were about 20 feet from the cabin when Bo noticed that one of the horses was already saddled, and a couple of others had heavy-looking packs slung over their backs. Instantly, Bo knew what that meant. Spooked by Lowell's death, the outlaw who'd been left behind was running out on the devils, and he was double-crossing them and taking as much of the loot as he could carry, too. That thought had just gone through Bo's mind when the man stepped around the front corner of the cabin, staggering a little under the weight of the pack full of gold bars he was carrying. He started toward the corral gate, but stopped short at the sight of the Texans.
Hold it!
The outlaw dropped the pack at his feet and sent his hand stabbing toward the gun on his hip. The outlaw had barely cleared leather when Bo and Scratch both fired.
Well, we were probably gonna have to kill him anyway.
Yeah, he made sure of it.
The gunfire had spooked the horses in the corral. They milled around nervously.
We can let them calm down, then we'll need to get that gold off of them. We don't want the others riding up and suspecting that something's wrong.
I'll bet Olaf's looking down from up yonder and worrying about those shots. We better let him know that everything's all right.
Bo nodded and moved out into the middle of the canyon where Gustafson couldn't help but see him. He took his hat off and waved it over his head, then motioned for the sergeant and the rest of the troopers to come on down the trail that followed the ledge. Scratch looked inside the cabin and reported as Bo returned.
The other dead hombre's in there. Looks like this one dragged him down here and left him inside so the wolves wouldn't get him. He wasn't going to try to bury him, though. He's just going to take as much loot as he could carry and get out of here.
That's the way I figure it, too. We got time to bury both of them, though. Rest of the devils won't be back until later in the day, and the ground shouldn't be frozen yet.
It seems like a heap of wasted effort for a couple of no-good owl hoots.
If we drag them over into the trees, that'll attract scavengers. If the rest of the devils were to see buzzards circling, that might tip them off that something was wrong. And I don't particularly like the idea of sitting inside that cabin all day with a couple of dead outlaws.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Anyway, we can get Olaf to order some of them greenhorn troopers to dig the grave.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Gustafson and the other survivors from the patrol were on their way down into the canyon now, riding single file down the ledge. Bo and Scratch went to meet the sergeant when the group reached the canyon floor.
We heard the shots. I suppose that means we don't have to worry about the outlaw who was left here.
Only about burying him and the guard we took care of last night.
I'll handle that. You two troopers, you form a burial detail. I suppose you'll want the graves out of sight, Bo?
Yeah, over in the trees along the canyon wall would be good.
What happened?
The story didn't take long to tell.
We'll take the gold back in the cabin. The men can warm up inside. You'll need to post some sentries down the canyon, though, just in case the devils turn back for some reason before they got to Deadwood and show up back here sooner than we expect.
Good idea. We'll take shifts so that everybody will get a chance to thaw out.
Later, we'll leave a couple of men in the cabin and the rest will spread out. Some up on the rim rock, maybe a few over in the trees. We'll have the gang caught in a crossfire.
Are you sure you are never in the army?
Only the Texian army. And we was both just wet behind the ears youngsters then.